Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The Wall Street Journal this morning starts right after this.
You just watched the market close in Shanghai. New York doesn't open for a couple of hours, so there's time to fit in a session at the gym, squeeze in a haircut, go hit a few balls at the driving range, shoot off some emails, and maybe even breakfast across town. And you'll still be the first one in the office. You're always ready to go the extra mile. Fortunately, so is your Cadillac. With Cadillac Certified Service, our experts make sure your Cadillac is as ready to go as you are.
Get AC Delco Professional Durastop brake pads installed for only $99.95 or less per axle. Includes rotor inspection, retail customers only, turning or replacing rotors, all other services, and tax extra. Visit CadillacCertifiedService.com for details, other great offers, and to find your closest Cadillac dealer.
From the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Deconstructing the Bergdahl talks. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. Friday, June 6th, it is the 70th anniversary of D-Day.
I have this message for all of you. Although the initial assault may not have been made in your own country, the hour of your liberation is approaching.
Message from General Eisenhower. You'll hear from today's ceremonies in Normandy, also coming up this hour.
The Taliban had a consistent message during negotiations with the White House over the release of Bo Bergdahl. Find out what it was.
General Motors lowers the boom on 15 employees connected to the controversy over a failed recall.
Another school shooting, this time at Seattle Pacific University. We'll have an update in about 13 minutes.
And the uproar over the exchange of Taliban commanders for Sergeant Bo Bergdahl could hurt White House efforts to close the military prison at Guantanamo Bay.
President Obama ran in 2008, pledging, among other things, to close the Guantanamo Bay prison. The furor over the transfer of five Taliban prisoners from Guantanamo in exchange for Sergeant Bo Bergdahl has really focused attention again on the effort to close Guantanamo Bay.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jess Braven on options for the Obama administration regarding Gitmo. He's here later in the hour. Ever since talks for the release of Sergeant Bo Bergdahl began in November 2010, Taliban representatives had a consistent message for the Obama administration. Set free a group of Taliban commanders at the U.S. military prison in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The Taliban had a harder time getting a handle on the position of the divided U.S. government, as officials in Washington sent mixed messages about the administration's intentions and what it could deliver. The Journal has an exclusive story deconstructing the negotiations. Here's the Wall Street Journal this morning's Jeff Bellinger.
According to those close to the talks, different officials and agencies at separate times issued demands and threw up roadblocks. At several points, the Taliban team seemed confused as to why President Obama could not just issue an edict and make the exchange happen. So U.S. negotiators brought to one meeting a copy of legislation that explained how he had limited power to maneuver. However, in the end, Mr. Obama made a decision that was not far from what the Taliban had wanted from the start. On his own authority, the president released the group's leaders from Guantanamo in return for Sergeant Bergdahl without notifying Congress. Gordon?
Thank you, Jeff. 9 minutes now after the hour. Well, until his son was taken captive by the Taliban in 2009, friends of Bob Bergdahl in a small mountain town in Idaho say he was known as an easygoing, cheerful UPS driver, the sort who would beep the horn on his truck simply to entertain little kids. But Wall Street Journal reporter Jim Carlton says over the 5 years of his son's captivity, Mr. Bergdahl underwent a transformation, both physical and mental. He's with us from Haley, Idaho. Jim, what have you been hearing?
He drew some controversy because he actually spoke in the Taliban language Pashto a few words when he appeared with President Obama. But what I'm told here is that his sole reason for making this conversion was not to convert to Islam and the Taliban. It was to reach out to understand his captor, his son's captors. He wanted to do everything he could to make sure his son was rescued, survived, and he thought the only way he could do that was to understand what they wanted, what would it take to free his son, and only then could he free him. So he is singularly focused on freeing his son.
Can you talk a little bit about what he did to get his mind in that position?
The guy is he's a very intense, passionate man. He's a former kind of world-class bicycle racer. He became a UPS driver, raised his family here, including his son, Bo, and Haley. And, you know, after his son ended up, you know, captured in Afghanistan, he basically he did a number of things. One, he said, I'm not going to shave until my son is rescued. So then he grew a long beard, a Taliban-like beard, although it's a purely a coincidence. He wasn't actually trying to look like a Taliban, although he kind of did at the end. Then he taught himself Pashto, the Taliban language. He sent off for books, and the fact that he could teach himself this language is pretty, says a lot about his intensity and focus. And he studied the Quran. He's a devout Christian. The family has gone to Presbyterian church, you know, for many years. And so he wasn't really throwing Christianity out the window, but he's just trying to find some common ground. And that's kind of what he was doing.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Jim Carlton, who's in Haley, Idaho, hometown of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. And what has the reaction been to his big changes there in Haley?
Well, Bob Bergdahl and the Bergdahl family in general have gotten a lot more support in Haley than they are in the rest of the country. And I think maybe it's just because, you know, there's just maybe some misunderstanding of what was going on. I mean, I don't think anybody here thinks that they're, you know, not red-blooded Americans. You know, Bob Bergdahl still loves to ride around on his bicycle, and in fact, he goes on bicycle runs, and he'll call it his pastry run because he likes to have a pastry in the middle of it. And he still tells jokes, but he basically just wanted to, he wanted to actually reach out to the Taliban and say, what do you want? What will it take? What can I do to help bridge the gap between the U.S. military and you so I can get my son back? And that's what he was trying to do.
Thanks, Jim. Wall Street Journal reporter Jim Carlton from Haley, Idaho. By the way, poll question on our website today. Do you feel the Obama administration properly handled the release of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl? You can vote and or see results on our website, which is WSJThisMorning.com. 12 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal This Morning. Remember, you can follow the Wall Street Journal This Morning on Twitter, Facebook, and now TuneIn. Join the thousands already following us on the new TuneIn app and TuneIn.com.
When I was pregnant, I got more advice than I knew what to do with. What I needed was information I could trust on how to take care of me and my baby. Luckily, United Healthcare has a simple program that helps moms stay on track with their doctors and get the right care and guidance before and after the baby is born. Simple is good right now.
Innovations that work for you. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Glad you're with us. Good Friday morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Meetings are essential to the way we work. They're an opportunity to share ideas and problem solve, but if your team is spread out in different locations, coming together can be an impossible task unless you use Citrix GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online from anywhere at any time. It's so easy. Sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or mobile device and launch your first meeting in seconds. Then, no matter where you are, you'll be instantly connected to your team. Share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, and presentations in real time. And just turn on your webcams to see each other face-to-face in HD video. It's just like meeting in person, even when you're miles apart. GoToMeeting will save you time and money, making you more productive. So start hosting your own face-to-face meetings today by signing up for your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ. All right, so better than the recent average, but not as good as April. That's what we can expect from the May employment numbers, according to Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at Cohn-Reznick in northern New Jersey. The latest trends from the Labor Department will be released today. Pat, what can we expect?
I think across the board, most economists expect that we will have another positive report. Cohn-Reznick, we expect to see about 245,000 net gain. That's somewhat over what the many of the other economists are looking for. But generally, I think there is a sense now that the overall pace of jobs growth has kicked up a gear since the beginning of the year. We look around at the data, we look at the sentiment indicators, and there is a more positive tone to the recovery than was the case, say, in the second half of last year.
We had a nice number in April, right? Because we had some pent-up winter demand after all the harsh weather. So you're saying May kind of could continue the trend?
I think we had a spike in April, as you properly characterize it. We had a lot of hiring in April that was filling positions where the hire had been deferred because of bad weather, because of uncertainty at what was going on in that first quarter. What we expect is that we're going to have a good number, 245,000 net new jobs in May. That will pull back from the almost 290,000 that were reported for April because that April jobs number was bolstered. So we think that the trend remains positive and above what the longer-term average has been during the recovery, but it's going to be a pullback from April's jump. April saw the third largest monthly gain in the course of the jobs recovery, which began back in 2010. So that was a major step forward.
We're speaking with Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at Cone Resnick in New Jersey. We're talking about the May jobs report, getting a little preview. Are there jobs worth bragging about here, Pat, or are we still talking about what some derogatorily refer to as these Mick jobs?
It's a mixed bag in the high-skilled, high knowledge content jobs. Demand remains very strong, and the reimbursement for those jobs remains very good. But an awful lot of the jobs that we have added have been in the intermediate to lower end ranges of the pay scale. Places like temporary help, for example, have been a source of good growth. Retail has rebounded. Leisure and hospitality, which includes food services, have all been strong sources of growth. And so what we're left to say is that any job is better than no job, but we're not getting all of the top quality jobs that we'd like to see in the economy at this phase of a recovery.
Are you able to identify industries or sectors where there's been a notable uptick in hiring or firing?
In the past few months, the goods-producing sectors, which had really been laggards throughout the recovery, have picked it up quite a bit. Construction employment adjusted for seasonality, so we're not just looking because the weather has gotten better. Construction employment, most particularly non-residential construction, is up. On the losses side, when we look over into the private services sector, we don't see a lot of losses, but we do see some deceleration in longer-term rates of growth.
Thanks, Pat. That is Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at Cone Resnick. 21 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's First News.
And good morning at Omaha Beach, Normandy today. Men who stormed ashore 70 years ago today joined President Barack Obama and other world leaders in paying tribute to the Allied troops involved in the historic D-Day landings, which helped turn the tide in World War II.
We come to remember why America and our allies gave so much for the survival of liberty at this moment of maximum peril. We come to tell the story of the men and women who did it so that it remains seared into the memory of a future world.
At least 4,400 Allied troops were killed in the first day of the Allied invasion, and many thousands more in the three-month Battle of Normandy that brought the Allies to Paris for the liberation. Another school shooting, this time at Seattle Pacific University in Washington State. One 19-year-old man is dead and three other people injured. This is Seattle Police Captain Chris Fowler.
A young male enter Otto Miller Hall on the Seattle Pacific University campus, was armed with a shotgun, walked into the building, into the foyer, immediately confronted three victims and shot those three individuals.
Police say a student disarmed the gunman, who is under arrest. The gunman is not a student at the school. Royal Canadian Mounted Police have captured a man suspected of shooting and killing three fellow officers and wounding two others in Moncton, New Brunswick. 24-year-old Justin Bork had been wanted since Wednesday evening when the shootings occurred. General Motors CEO Mary Barra vows to change the culture that led to what she called a pattern of incompetence in the delayed recall of faulty ignition switches. She's fired 15 people.
Repeatedly, individuals failed to disclose critical pieces of information that could have fundamentally changed the lives of those impacted by the faulty ignition switch.
It's Jobs Friday, and economists expect to see that around 210,000 were created in May, with the unemployment rate ticking back up to 6.4%. The report due about an hour before the opening bell. U.S. stock futures are positive this morning after more record highs. The Dow was up almost 99. The S&P added about 13. And the Nasdaq gained about 45 points. The European Central Bank cut interest rates. The Spurs go up 1-0 over the Heat in the NBA Finals after beating Miami 110-95 in San Antonio last night.
Come on, Spurs. Three more, baby. Three more.
I know someone who's pretty happy this morning. Maybe not sitting too far away from me.
Hashtag go Spurs. 24 minutes after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. General Motors CEO Mary Barra has fired 15 workers in the wake of an investigation into faulty ignition switches in some of its vehicles. She also told employees the company will become more aggressive with vehicle recalls.
If you see a problem that you don't believe is being handled properly, elevate it to your supervisor. If you still don't believe it's being handled properly, contact me directly.
To Detroit Now and Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Bennett on the T-Mobile hotline. Jeff, this didn't happen on her watch, but it's her problem now. Are these steps enough?
The steps have been a total revamp of the engineering department within GM. However, I think she still faces a lot of skepticism from political leaders and from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration that is still waiting for General Motors to answer all of its questions that it still has about the delay in recalling the vehicles.
What's been the reaction so far, Jeff?
The reaction has been mixed. We hear from some employees that like the straightforward talk that Mary provided. We've heard that GM has taken steps to really change the culture that did exist there. But political leaders, plaintiff lawyers, of course, have been critical, saying that the report doesn't go far enough to really explain and pin blame higher up in the chain of command at GM.
What do you think is next in this case? Obviously, it's not over.
It's not nearly over. What happens now is Mary Barra will go back to Capitol Hill to explain to congressional leaders what the report's findings were. GM still has to set up a compensation fund. How big that is, we don't know. We still need plaintiff lawyers to try and make their moves to open these cases back up. We have other lawyers who are looking for compensation for those who own these cars, but now they're basically worthless because they have a problem. And we're still waiting on the Department of Justice and the Securities and Exchange Commission to complete their own investigations.
Thanks, Jeff. Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Bennett, who's based in Detroit. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, the U.S. appears to be undeterred from closing Guantanamo Bay.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours. Which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Glad you're with us on this Friday, June 6th, 70th anniversary of D-Day. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, a shooting at a small college in Seattle. North Korea arrests another American. And ceremonies in Normandy today to mark what some call the day that saved the world. A D-Day report in about 20 minutes. The Obama administration says it'll press forward with plans to close the Guantanamo Bay prison. They're dismissing the furor over the Taliban prisoner exchange as an anomaly related to the need to repatriate a captured American soldier, Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. More now from Wall Street Journal reporter Jess Braven in Washington. Jess, where are we with this?
Right now, the administration has succeeded in loosening some of the restrictions that Congress imposed after Obama took office in 2009, and the legal framework has not changed and certainly won't change, almost certainly for the rest of the year. So under the current legal framework, the administration can continue to transfer detainees out of Guantanamo if certain certifications are made regarding what threat they might pose to U.S. Security if they're transferred out. Now, it's important to remember that of nearly 800 men who were held at Guantanamo at one point or another, more than 500 of them were released during the Bush administration. The Obama administration has released about 80 during its 5 years in office and 12 over the past year since Obama renewed his effort to close the prison by appointing special envoys in the Defense and State Departments to manage that process.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Jess Braven in Washington. Could lawmakers put up further roadblocks in the future?
Certainly it could, but the question is, when do they have the opportunity to do that? Generally, the Congress has imposed these restrictions as part of the defense authorization bill. Obama signed the last one in December. It's one that's currently in effect. So the question is really, would anything else be imposed on him, this year? That seems quite unlikely that any standalone bill attempting to interfere with Guantanamo would pass. Additionally, if it should pass both houses of Congress, if the president signing it is quite unlikely. So I don't think that it's plausible that additional legal restrictions will be imposed. The question is, at this point, whether there are political pressures that lead the president to scale back that effort. From what we're hearing, the answer is no, that the administration remains committed to closing the prison, that the Bergdahl prisoner exchange is really an anomaly. It's a one-off event that's not related to the way that they normally go about transferring prisoners out of Guantanamo Bay. It was done very specifically as part of this prisoner exchange for an American soldier held by the enemy. It is not part of the normal way where the administration goes about, and they are expecting that the controversy will die down, and they will continue to aggressively work to find either third countries to resettle detainees or to repatriate them to their home countries if they can.
Thanks, Jess. Wall Street Journal reporter Jess Braven, who's based in Washington. 22 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
How easy is getting unlimited data outside the U.S. with T-Mobile? Just one step. Turn on your phone. Because with T-Mobile, unlimited global data in over 100 countries is automatically included in your plan at no extra charge. Sounds simple? It is simple. It's the Simple Choice for Business plan, only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
By the way, poll question on our website today. Do you feel the Obama administration properly handled the release of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl? You can vote and see results on our website, which is WSJThisMorning.com. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Unleash the potential of your business with T-Mobile, the company that's changing the way business does wireless. It's time now for our weekly update on what we've been searching for most on Google. Zaina Aston is a Google Trends expert. She's with us live this morning. Zaina, good morning. Start with D-Day.
Good morning, for sure. So this year marked the 70th anniversary of D-Day. Veterans and world leaders gathered to commemorate the storming of the beaches of Normandy. And we see a lot of trending search activity around this, whether it's people looking for historic photos or to learn a little bit more about the history and how it really turned the tides in World War II.
Yeah, well, I've got some photos up now, some I haven't seen. They're just breathtaking. I know also high on the list this week, Ann B. Davis, who played Alice Nelson on The Brady Bunch.
Well, he said, hey, how'd you like to go to the pizza parlor? And she said, far out. And she said, how about taking me to the carnival Friday night? And he said, far out. And he said, so long. And I said, far out. Didn't want him to think I wasn't on it.
Zaina, how about Ann B. Davis?
Yes, the famous housekeeper from the Brady Bunch passed away this week at the age of 88. And many people took to search to find more information about her life and those famous Alice moments like that. You know, I think it's really interesting for me to see the headlines because a lot of people are saying that they felt that they'd been raised by the character of Alice.
Yeah.
You know, I'd never seen I saw a lot of the reruns growing up, and it was just such a familiar part of my childhood. So
nice.
It's very sad, and but glad to see that her memory lives on, and people are looking for more about her.
Not many TV shows like that on the air anymore. That's for sure.
No, it's true.
What is going on here with Rihanna? Because we certainly were not doing searches about her life or a biography with these recent photos that surfaced of her.
Yes, this risque outfit choice at the CFDA Fashion Awards caused quite a buzz and led people to search to see the outfit. So apparently this is a custom-made, mostly backless dress, which had over 230,000 Swarovski crystals and was accented with a particularly strategically placed boa,
yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Oh, so that actually was an outfit? I wasn't clear. I thought it was just a nude picture with some material hanging around somewhere.
Well, it's open to interpretation, I think.
We're speaking with Zaina Aston, Google Trends expert. She's with us live this morning. Why is abdicate on the list?
So, yes, people have been looking up the word, the definition of abdicate, as it was announced that the Spanish king would step down to leave the throne to his son. It's really interesting to me because a lot of people, when they see news stories, will actually take to search to find out more. And in this case, it's to learn more about what abdicate means. And you can actually get definitions directly in the search page or when it comes to voice search. You know, if you ask your phone,
okay,
what's the word abdicate mean, it will actually give you the definition right there. And it's always interesting how it links to the topic of the day, the news story.
All right, so speaking of topic of the day, how does math games fit in? I know that was a popular search this week also.
It was, and it's actually a good sign. Summer holidays are approaching, and math games are trending in search. So it's a sign to me that parents and students are looking for ways to stay sharp over vacation. There are lots of educational resources on the internet and on YouTube, and people tend to occasionally look for particular math games that you can play in order to keep up and keep minds active over the summer months.
My things have changed. I didn't play any math games over my summer break, did you?
No, I didn't, actually.
What's going on here? Zaina, thanks for a few minutes. Always good to talk to you. Zaina Aston, Google Trends expert, with us live this morning. Math games, really? Why do I feel like there's something promotional behind that? Math games in early June? 15 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, Gina Cervetti with our top stories. This portion of the program is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Meetings, as you know, are essential to the way we work. They're an opportunity to share ideas and problem solve. But if your team is spread out in different locations, coming together can be an impossible task unless you use Citrix GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online from anywhere at any time. It's so easy. Sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or mobile device and launch your first meeting in seconds. Then, no matter where you are, you'll be instantly connected to your team. Share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, presentations, all in real time. Just turn on your webcams to see each other face-to-face in HD video. It's just like meeting in person, even when you're miles apart. GoToMeeting will save you time and money, making you more productive. Start hosting your own face-to-face meetings today by signing up for your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ. It's 11 minutes before the hour now on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning. President Barack Obama's nominee to fill a key position at the VA has withdrawn his name. Dr. Jeffrey Murawski, the director of a network of VA hospitals, was nominated as Undersecretary for Health at Veterans Affairs. The withdrawal came the same day that the Senate introduced a bipartisan bill aimed at fixing problems in the VA health care system. Bank of America is in talks to pay at least $12 billion to settle civil probes by the Justice Department in some states into the bank's alleged handling of shoddy mortgages. At least $5 billion of that amount is expected to go back to consumers. GM has ousted 15 employees and vows a revamped culture as it issues an internal report on a delayed recall tied to faulty ignition switches.
We've added 35 safety investigators that will allow us to identify and address issues much more quickly. And I think we're already seeing the positive results of their work.
That's CEO Mary Barra. The company also set up a fund to compensate victims of accidents caused by those faulty switches. But the fund won't address other claims from people, for example, who say the problems hurt their car's resale values. And GM's Capitol Hill problems are still there. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, one of GM's harshest critics, is blasting this internal report, saying key questions remain unanswered, including how many people died as a result of the faulty ignition design. Today brings the government's May tally of employment. An economist forecast job creation of around 210,000 new positions, with the jobless rate up to 6.4%. Liz Miller is with Summit Place Financial.
We've really seen a trend that has expectations pretty well set for a decent number. So I think we could disappoint, but I don't think a particularly strong number is going to move the markets much higher.
Stock futures now are up a little bit after new record highs for both the Dow and the S&P 500. The Dow yesterday rose about 99, the S&P 13, and the Nasdaq almost 45. Horse racing fans will make sure they're in front of a screen tomorrow for New York's Belmont Stakes, when California Chrome could become the first Triple Crown winner in 36 years. Chrome, of course, California Chrome, won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness.
All right.
And this is the longest of the three.
Right.
The longest race.
Here comes California Chrome. I'll be cheering. I'd like to see that happen. Thank you, Gina. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours, which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
Wall Street Journal this morning.
I have this message for all of you. Although the initial assault may not have been made in your own country, the hour of your liberation is approaching.
President Obama and a host of other leaders have gathered at the cemeteries across Normandy today to commemorate the 70th anniversary of D-Day and the thousands of fallen Allied troops who were buried there. June 6th is the date often referred to as the day that saved the world. General Dwight Eisenhower, who you just heard there, addressed the troops before their mission.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you.
For decades, D-Day commemorations have served as a potent reminder of the shared sacrifice of American, Canadian, British, and other Western forces to free Europe from the clutches of totalitarianism. Not only was the battle pivotal in defeating Adolf Hitler, it turned the page on centuries of European bloodshed.
People of Western Europe, a landing was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied Expeditionary Force. This landing is part of the concerted United Nations plan for the liberation of Europe, made in conjunction with our great Russian allies.
On the anniversary, veterans returned to Normandy to walk the battlefields and remember fallen friends. President Obama among officials there today.
We come to remember why America and our allies gave so much for the survival of liberty at this moment of maximum peril. We come to tell the story of the men and women who did it so that it remains seared into the memory of a future world.
The Journal, by the way, has a story today about a guy named John Rayan Jr. When he stormed Omaha Beach, he was a 22-year-old captain leading U.S. Army Rangers into a hail of Nazi gunfire. Today, he is 92, facing a different challenge. The generation of veterans who turned the tide of World War II and survived to tell their story is literally dying off. Quick personal story here. My son's CCD class, I took them to an assisted living home nearby to make some visits with some of the older folks who were in there, and one of them is a 92-year-old, 93-year-old Navy veteran from Staten Island, New York. When I tell you that he had the kids riveted on some of the stories he was telling about World War II, I mean, just some breathtaking stuff. Here's a quick quote, by the way, from General Eisenhower in one of his initial reports back to headquarters on D-Day. He says, "Last night, I saw a great portion of a United States Airborne Division just prior to its takeoff. The enthusiasm, toughness, and obvious fitness of every single man were high, and the light of battle was in their eyes. I will keep you informed." For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Traveling overseas for business comes with a checklist of things to worry about. But with T-Mobile, you can take getting international data off that list. Because with the Simple Choice for Business plan, unlimited data in over 100 countries is automatically included at no extra charge. Only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.